I hope you all encourage, you know, you encourage me, and you're a blessing. And when I don't see you here, and I don't call you, it's not because I don't want to, it's because I lost your phone number. Okay, but anyhow, give me your phone numbers again, write them on a sheet of paper. Their class did this morning. It's been a blessing. Now, we're still going to get out of here by 8:30. As far as the eye can see, turn, if you will, Numbers 13 and 14. I knew when I got started doing that, I was going to have to go all the way around. Oh, I didn't get the back ones back there. Oh, they're important, man, I tell you. Without them, I couldn't hear or see, and you couldn't hear me. And I appreciate Gary and Ryan and all of them that work back there. Numbers chapter 13, let's, for the sake of it, let's start at verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes and carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place where the valley, the place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were in their sight, and so we were in their sight." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, for our church. And Lord, tonight as we read this scripture, show us a vision of just how far that you have brought us and where you're taking us. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Helen Keller said, "The greatest tragedy in life is to have sight without a vision." Now we find the children of Israel are in the wilderness of Paran, and there they were on the edge of Canaan. They were about to come and take, they were positioned and posed for victory, and they had a promised victory in the land. And all they had to do was claim the Canaan for themselves. But they could not see that victory. They could not by faith look out and say, see what God had given them. And I believe our church is promised, posed, and positioned for a great victory in this town, in our lives. I believe God is going to do a work in our church and bring us together. I believe over the next few years we're going to see a lot of change in our area around us. I was driving through the area the other day, and just back over here, they're putting in streets and subdivisions, and there's going to be houses, did this go off? All over. And what a great opportunity for us to reach out to those people coming into our community. Many are lost. But you know what? If we're going to have a vision of growth and have a vision, we've got to catch that vision from the Word of God. We see here a contentious majority. Keep in mind, these are 12 spies sent out not for an opinion. They're sent out for a strategy. And look at verse 13, 2. I'll start with verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which what? I am giving to the children of Israel. They were sent out not for an opinion, but they were sent out to spy out the land for a strategy of how to take over the land. Now, they went out as two groups, or went out as one group and came back as two. They came back with a majority report and a minority report. They saw giants in the land. The minority saw giants in the land. The Anaks were giant people. They were big people. They were mighty men. They were fearless men. They were men that would evidently throw fear in someone's life. And the spies that went out, they didn't have that kind of mentality of looking at them and saying, with God, all things are possible. But they had, I call it, a grasshopper mentality. They saw themselves as grasshoppers compared to the giants. And I've often said, you know, grasshoppers are nothing but grass. Man, when you step on him, he just goes, and that's about it. He smushes out to nothing. So they saw themselves as, we're weak, we're small, and we've got a task before us that we don't know how to do it. We don't know if we could. They knew that they couldn't do it. Instead of believing what God had told them in the Word of God. Now, whenever God gives you a vision, whenever God leads you in a certain direction, there will always be those that say we can't. It never tends to fail. There's always that negative person. When God gives you a vision of doing something, when God leads you to do something, there's always going to be somebody who will oppose that. Believe it, it's true. Whether it's cleaning the church pews, let me tell you right now, there's always going to be somebody that says, well, you didn't do this right, or you didn't do that right. There's always going to be that negative person, that cynical person, that critical person. And you know what? That is contagious. That is very contagious. One negative spark sets a negative fire a lot of times. That's the reason we've got to be careful when we speak, to always speak positive about things. Don't be negative. Even if you don't like something, just don't say nothing about it. You see, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem half the time. And half the time we say things that we really need to not say that hurt somebody else's feeling. Well, all the congregation, the Bible says, what happened? They wept that night down in chapter 14. Look at it. All the children and all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Why did they complain? Because of the negative report of these spies. We can't do anything. You know, the land is truly blessed. The land is flowing with milk and honey. Look at these grapes that we've got. Look at these pomegranates we've got. But oh, let me tell you something. There's giants in the land, and they're going to devour us. And they begin crying. They cried all night. The Bible says, the congregation said, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. You know, that's what negativism will do in a church. People will lose that enthusiasm. They'll lose that vision. A church can grow and be on fire, and then somebody throws something negative. The old devil. Don't let the devil use you. The old devil always tries to find somebody that will stop the growth. Well, preacher, we just don't do it like that. Well, our Sunday school class, you know, they're, you know, if you're not happy with that, find something else to say. Amen? All the congregation wept that night. They wanted to go back to the desert. They wanted to go back to the land where no grapes. They wanted to go back to the land of Egypt, where they were slaves. Can you imagine standing on the edge of victory and wanting to go back to slavery where you was whipped and where you was killed? No, but that's what negativism will do. Then we see a courageous minority. Boy, these two bold believers. Now let me tell you something, folks. We need a lot of bold believers in our church and in our lives. Joshua and Caleb said, verse 30, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Now, what was the difference? What was the difference in the majority and these two other guys? It's interesting. These two reports, they took the same routes. They saw the same people. And yet they have two different views. They saw the people differently. You see, one group saw opportunities, and the other group saw what? Obstacles. Everywhere you find, you'll always find people that see opportunities, and some people see obstacles. Those people that see obstacles in their life, confronting them always, never get anywhere. It's only those people that believe they have opportunity for different things will grow. One group saw the grapes. Man, they were great. Some saw the giants. They were big. One saw the blessings, and the other saw the burdens. You know, in front of my house, I have roses. I love roses. You know, and I go out there and I work with those roses. I cut them off every year, try to get them bushy and everything. I don't do too good at that. But, you know, they've got thorns in them. But, oh, the beauty of the rose when it's there. And, folks, sometimes we have the thorns. But, you know, if we just press on through the thorns in the rough times of life, oh, the beauty of watching God bless in a church. The beauty of hearing Thomas's testimony, how he went through a dark time and God has brought him through. You see, that's the beauty of the rose. If you quit in the middle, you never see that beauty. You see? Oh, to hear a testimony. Oh, to see a elderly person that comes to church. I never will forget some little ladies that used to go to this church. I mean to tell you, most of you don't know them, but I imagine David Wood and a few others. But they walked in, they had to walk, you know, knees bent, arthritis, you know, walking on bone on bone. And yet they were here every time the doors were open. And I used to think, man, how in the world can they do that? It's because they loved God. You see, the difference in these two groups, one had a vision of failure, and the other had a God-given vision. And that makes the difference in people's lives. Some see God and understand that they've got their strength comes from the Lord. And, you know, you can make it through this world if you're looking into the heavenlies. Amen. You go through this world, and Abraham and all of them in the Hebrews says they look for a city not made with hands. And, folks, this world is hard, but I'm not living for this world. I'm going to press on and keep pressing on till I get to the heavenly home. You know, and that's just a little ways over there yet. And we never know. You know, we've got to think positive. Positive thinking is not a cure for it all. Some say if you believe it, then you can achieve it. Well, you know, we ought to be positive, but that's not a cure-all. I never will forget of a story. A little boy came in one day, and he said, "Daddy, I think I flunked my test." And he said, "Son, you need to be positive instead of negative." He said, "Daddy, I know I flunked that test." That's pretty positive. Well, you know, they were bold because they were carrying out God's plan. Caleb and Joshua were bold. Now, folks, I do believe this church, God put it here 30-something years ago, and I believe he's had his hand on it ever since. I believe we've made a lot of mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. I've probably gotten in the way of a lot of God's plans. But I really believe God is not through with it yet, you see. And we've got a long way to go. It was God's idea. They had been led to Canaan. He'd given them the land. You know, when you walk through a land, sometimes you do meet the giants. There's been giants in our life. We've faced giants of financial problems. We've faced giants of sicknesses. We've faced giants of disease and things like that. Man. But it's better to go along with God fighting the giants than eating the dirt in the desert. Folks, I believe we ought to fight those giants. And then they were calling on God's power in 14 verse 9. Look at what it says. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." You see, Caleb was looking at these giants, and he said, "Listen, the obstacles we face, these giants, they're just bread for us." Now, what does bread do? Well, it makes us bigger, for one thing. But, you know, he said, "These are our nourishment. These are where we grow in our life." Is it wasn't for the hardships in life, we wouldn't grow in our faith. And every time we overcome an obstacle, we ought to grow in our faith and become more mature in our faith, you see. Caleb calls them bread for us. Giants in our lives, problems that we have. You know, do not build fear in our life. Giants builds our faith in our life. Man, over the years, Ron and I have seen a lot of things happen. We've faced a lot of giants, and that's built a stronger faith, a stronger marriage, you see. Man, I tell you what, if it wasn't for those giants in the land, we'd have a weak faith. But God blessed us with some giants along the way. And then we're claiming God's promise. God didn't say, "I will give." He said, "Listen, I'm giving you the land." There's a difference there. You see, the reason Joshua and Caleb were smiling so, I believe they were smiling when they said, "Listen, Moses, we can take the land." You know why? I believe they realized God had already given the deed. They had it in their back pocket. All they had to do was claim it, folks. And I believe God wants us as a church to reach out to this community. I think he wants us to grow. I think he wants us to multiply. I think he wants us to do more for missions. Oh, I don't know what else he's got for us to do, but we ought to do it. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, man, but a faith and sound mind to reach out and do these kind of things. They were clinging to God's promise. These men were clinging to God's protection. He says, God will protect them. Oh, Caleb, when he was 80 years old, back, he says, "I want the mountain." Most of us would say, "Ooh, give me the easy part." No, he didn't say that. He said, "I want the mountain, man. I'm ready to go up and take it." You know, God's protection hadn't departed them, and he hasn't departed from us. We don't have to worry about a thing. Somebody said, "What about our offerings?" I'm not worried about it. I know that God is going to bless. He's going to bless, folks. We don't have to worry about that. He said a long time ago, I will provide. I will take care of you. You know, they may have size over in the Giants, but we have God's strength. And folks, I'd rather have God's strength than God's than the size anytime. They have everything but God, and they had nothing but God. And Caleb knew, and Joshua knew, God plus one is a majority, no matter what. So they had God's promise, and they had God's protection. And then they were counting on God's presence. The Lord is with us. We don't have to fear. Folks, we don't have nothing to fear. Fear ought not even cross our mind. You see, we go places and do things and we don't fear them. Counting on God's presence, the Lord is with us. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Now, I don't know about you, but I use that a lot. I think about it. You know, I don't have a thing to fear. God is with me. He knows where I'm at. Then they had a contentious misery. Majority is not always right, folks. Matter of fact, it's probably mostly wrong. Because the majority ruled, instead of being conquerors for Canaan, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 more years. These people died because of their disbelief. Now, you want a church to die? You just let it start believing disbelief in it. God had not given us His word because, you know, they believed. He had given His word because of who they were. They were God's chosen people. And I believe as Christians, we are God's children. We don't have to worry. Disbelief led to disappointment. These people would never see the grapes again. They would never be able to taste the milk and honey. When we was in Israel, they asked one of the first things, they said, do y'all know what the milk and honey is? And I was wondering, where's the dairy cows around this place? It's the milk from the almonds and the honey from the, what's that other thing they eat? Huh? Dates. Oh, I tell you what. And, you know, they would never enjoy that. Why? Because of their disbelief. Because of their disbelief. And finally, disbelief leads to death. All the congregation, 20 years and above, shall die in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb would live because they chose to believe God. Folks, it always pays to believe God. It always pays to be obedient to God. God has brought us a long way over the 32 years that I've been here. And I see a beautiful building. I see a beautiful education building. I see a beautiful children's wing. But what I see that's most beautiful of all is souls that have been saved and lives that have been changed. The buildings, yes, they're beautiful. But I'd give it all for those souls to be continuously saved and see souls saved. You see, that's what we do here. That's why we're here, to reach out to people that are lost. And when we quit reaching out to people that are lost, we quit loving people like we should, then that's disbelief. We're not trusting God like we should. We're not being obedient to God like we should. So, in 2018, let's move forward. Let's see a vision of growth. Let's see a vision of reaching out as far as our eye can see. God's given us the land. He's given us the victory already. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your blessing. We thank You for the fellowship that we have here and the testimonies that we heard. But Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's lost, they don't have a vision. Lord, that they don't know You, may they come And Lord, if there's someone here that's saved and they just need to rededicate and commit their life to you, fresh and anew, Lord, may they do that. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.